Hallelujah. Welcome everybody who's joining us on Facebook and YouTube and watching this later. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. We've just had an awesome time of worship and some prayer. So that's good. So you're welcome. Hallelujah. Let's look at the Word. Awesome. Father, I thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for these scriptures that are able to see us transformed. That metamorphosized into something much better. Awesome. We thank you so much for your Word. Thank you that it's now time to delve into it. Thank you. It's time to plant some seeds. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for this wonderful springtime where other people are planting seeds. But I thank you that it's time to plant seeds of the Word into our heart. So we thank you for these seeds. Speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that seeds are not stolen, that they're not wasted, not taken away by the enemy. Understood so that it can germinate, grow, and produce fruit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It is important every time you look at the Word. Pray for understanding, because it's not that it's worthless without understanding, but it's understanding that will see you transformed, see you getting mind renewal. And it's understanding that'll change your life. Amen. Awesome. Get rid of these. Yeah, I need to be healed as well, Evelyn. I got a letter through to Specsavers again yesterday saying I need to come for my examination, and I thought, I'm nae going back, because last time they said I had to get bifocals. And it's like, no offence, but it's only Alpha that have bifocals. So I thought, I'm nae going, I'm not ready for that yet. I'll manifest my healing first. I'll stick with that for another couple of years, which is why you see me put these on to look at you, and then take them off to look at my Bible. But hallelujah, eyes be healed, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going back to my series. Most of you know I like preaching in series, so I'm going back to my series on called "You Are a Whosoever." And I started, amen, one amen, that's good. Been listening to it, Carl, or was it Evelyn? Can't see. Who is it then? You are a whosoever. I started looking at verses. I think I started on the last Sunday in 2020. I started my New Year's message early. And looking at truths about what we all are as believers. When you look at the Word, and you see the word whosoever, that's for me. Whosoever is always for us as born-again believers. And whatever it says in there about whosoever, it counts for you. And I've been trying to guide us through these whosoevers, but always telling you, don't exclude yourself from being a whosoever. Because I think we're all prone to do that. You know, yeah, I know God loves everybody. But I wonder, does he love me? Does he love me right now after what I've just done? You know, those kind of things. Yes, I know the Word says that God can heal. But will he heal me? Well, we look at the Word and we see as a whosoever, God has already healed us. God has already prospered us. And there's all these truths in the Word about whosoevers, and I've been trying to cover them. And then I've done that for about 5 or 6 weeks, and then I rediscovered Psalm 23, which is a psalm all about you. As a new covenant believer. Oh, Vic, it was written under the old covenant. It was written by David, who wasn't even a new covenant believer. Yeah, I know that. But it's a prophecy written about us under the new covenant. We can look at Psalm 23 and see those truths, and it's all about us living today. It's a prophecy. It's a set of promises. And it's awesome. I've been loving looking at Psalm 23 for the last... Well, I'm on verse 5, so I've probably been doing it for about 8 weeks. Half a verse a week sometimes. But I'm getting through it. But I've just loved the revelation. You know, there's something great about a different revelation, about a common verse. You know, I love looking at Parable of the Sower. I love looking at the Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. I love looking at Prodigal Son. These familiar verses, and you get loads of new revelations from them. But and that's been happening to me with Psalm 23. It's been brilliant. So I've probably got a couple of lessons left and then I'll move on to something else. But Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Awesome. One of my favourite words, obviously, awesome. But that passage is awesome. And I've been calling it the Abundant Life Psalm. That's my new name for it. Because I've been relating it back to John 10, where the gospel writer uses examples of sheep and shepherds, and Jesus speaks about sheep and shepherds. And right in the middle of John 10, there's John 10:10, the abundant life verse. So I've been relating that back to Psalm 23. I mean, just look at Psalm 23, it's about an abundant life. It's about us being able to live life and live it more abundantly. So that's why I've called Psalm 23 the Abundant Life Psalm. It's a psalm of encouragement. It's a psalm of promises. Like I said, all about what we have as New Covenant saints. And if you're a born-again believer this morning, you're a saint. That's what the Word says. Hallelujah. So I've got as far as verse 5. And like normal, I'm not going to do the whole of verse 5. I'm just going to do the first half. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, lots of you will already be thinking about, oh, I remember that sermon Nunzi gave about the table. Well, I'm going to cover that a little bit this morning, where Nunzi's revelation on not just the table, but taking from it. You know, I'll kind of get to it later, but there's almost no point in standing in front of a fully laden table if you're going to take anything from it. If you just stand and look at it. No, you need to grab things and take them off and use them. Amen. Nunzi spoke about this picture, analogy, a bit of typology of her seeing the table fully laden with all the things that was needed. And in her revelation of seeing herself going and picking something off that table. Very powerful picture. And I know it benefited many of us. To use that analogy, to use our minds to see things on the table and then to see ourselves going and taking from it. Now, we'll look at that this morning, initially. But I want to also go and talk about what I've been meditating on most this week. And I have loads of why questions when I'm reading the Bible. And for me, I think it's great that the Lord has prepared a table for us that I can go and take off. But what's it got to do with my enemies? Why? Why was that written? Why is it in the presence of my enemies? Why can't I just have a table without enemies? That'd be great, Lord. You know, but I can't understand, you know, anyway. But why? Why does it say, in the presence of mine enemies? But let's look at this table first. So turn with me a little bit on your Bible to Proverbs 23:7. Been coming to MGF for any length of time, you probably shouldn't be need to go there. You really need to turn to it, but you can if you want. "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And then back a few verses to Proverbs 18:21. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love of it shall eat the fruit thereof. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Two of our scriptures that I say are axioms of Murray Grace Fellowship. Well, what's an axiom? Well, who does maths? Who does maths in here? Just one little hand up there. Who's done maths? Oh, two. Okay. Who's done maths in the past? So you know there are fundamental, foundational truths in maths that everything else is built on. 1 + 1 = 2 is an axiom of maths. All the internal angles of a triangle add up to 180. Well, how long will I get a seat to sit down? Nuns, you got a maths question right. Hallelujah. That was a bit, I'll be in trouble. I'll be in trouble for that later. But you have axioms in maths that are basic truths that you do not need to describe anymore. And then you build geometry and trigonometry and algebra on these axioms of truth. And it's like that with these two verses in the Bible. They are axioms, they're fundamental, foundational truths written in the Word, and you build other doctrines or build other truths, build your life around them. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and death and life are in the power of the tongue, are two of the most important axioms that any Christian needs to live by. They are two scriptures that we should base our lives upon. What you think and what you speak out will direct your life. Thank you. Amen. That is not New Age doctrine. That's not mind over matter. That's not this nonsense called The Secret about the universe. Mind you, actually, read some of The Secret and replace universe with the Lord. Amen. And they're pretty close. But not close enough. Close but no cigar, as they would say. Hallelujah. Not New Age doctrine, not mind over matter, biblical truth. You've got your Bibles, you've seen that in there, yes? I'm not making that up. So we teach here that it is so important what you think on, what you focus on, what you see in your mind, and then what you speak out. See, there's lots of times, and don't put your hands up, I'll do it for you. You know, there are times when we think sick and we get sick. There are times when we think I'm tired, we get tired. You know, there are times when we think I'm going to fail here, and we're going to fail here. We've all done that. We can all identify with that. And I truly believe that's what the Bible says. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and death and life are in the power of the tongue. What's that got to do with seeing a table? It's about believing that there is a table, that there's a table there, that it's got all the things that we need on it, and we think on those things, and we speak out those things, and we see ourselves taking those things, and they're more likely to be made manifest in your life if you don't do that. If you just think about all the problems that are going on all around you, or you focus on the issues of the world, or you're so much into politics that you can't see what's going on in the spiritual. So we need to remember those verses. But there's also another couple of verses I want to go to talk around Nunzi's revelation about the seeing things on the table and taking things off the table. It's like, what actually is on the table? You probably all know where I'm going to go to now. I'm going to do my Ephesians 1:3 and my 2 Peter 1:3, which I seem to get in every week. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Past tense. How many things, Evelyn? All. To the exclusion of nothing. Hath, past tense. This was written to the church at Ephesus, long before any of us were born. It was past tense for the saints in Ephesus, and it's past tense for us. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That is a big table, folks. Why is it big? Because it's got everything on it. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:3. Where is it? There it is. It's after 1 Peter. According as his divine power hath given unto us, what things?
All
things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's talking about Jesus. Through the knowledge of Jesus. And we know we need to have the knowledge of Jesus to see all these things. But the things that we need for life and godliness are already there. According as his divine power hath. Past tense. I'm not sure this is Peter's writing here, obviously writing to the whole church. When he wrote it, it was past tense. Still past tense for us. What things for life and godliness? All things. That is a big, big table. See, the great thing about Nunzi's revelation, and tying it in with Ephesians 1:3, tying it in with 2 Peter 1:3, means that everything you need is on that table. And then tie it in with the verses in Proverbs about as a man thinketh, and death and life are in the power of the tongue, we can take. Through what we think and through what we say, we can take what we need off that table. Anything we need is on that table. Well, anything godly is on that table. You cannot go to that table and find the little scroll that says you'll not be persecuted anymore. Why not? Because Jesus didn't deal with persecution on the cross. But Jesus dealt with sickness and disease on the cross. So every medicine, every whatever is needed to deal with sickness and disease is on that table. Poverty was dealt with on the cross. Poverty and lack was dealt with on the cross. So everything we need to move us into a life of abundance in terms of resources is on that table. So that career, that job, that university place, that degree, that whatever you need, it's there on that table. The Lord says you'll be blessed by the work of your hands, so there's going to be a job on that table. It might be suffering rejection. Jesus dealt with rejection, but accepted into the family, so there's something on that table. I don't know how you would picture it, but you can picture something on that table of provision, and you can see yourself going and taking it, and you can tell yourself, I am having that whatever that indicates acceptance. I'm picking up that thing that indicates my healing. And you see it in here. And it's already true in your spirit. That's Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3. Have it in your spirit. You see it in your mind, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Two's bigger than one. The body's got to get in line. It's all there. If you actually imagine what is on that table, imagine what you need is on that table and see it as a physical reality. See it. Imagine it on that table and then see yourself going and picking it up. That's what Nunzi did. That's the revelation she shared with us. I know many of us used it. See, everything you do, everything that happens starts with a thought. Thoughts are real. Everything has to start with a thought. If you can't see it in here, you can't get it in here. It's what the Bible is saying. This is not mind over matter. This is not New Age nonsense. Although sometimes I think folk out of the church seem to understand this better. You know, who's that guy I spoke about last time? The guy, Tony Robbins. Tony Robbins looks like he understands his Proverbs to me. He's got that. All he's doing is telling people, as a man thinketh in his heart, so are you, and death and life are the power of your tongue. That's all he's doing it. And I told you that before, every time he does a session like that, he charges people £1,000. You're getting it for nothing. That'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. £11,000 for this session, that'd be great. It's because it's priceless. But he seems to have grasped that. I mean, he's not using the scriptures, but he's using biblical principles. Oh, we saw this in our study. You remember we did our study with Dr. Leaf, where she took the science behind it and merged it with biblical truths. And that was awesome. And you know me, I love my science. Love my Bible. I love when science and Bible comes together. It's great. This kind of concept, for Nancy and for us, really came to the fore. I'll give you an example. A roundabout for our daughter Lisa and her employment. She needed a new job, she needed advancement. This job came up and it was perfect. And we knew Lisa would be blessed by the work of her hands, and we knew that job would be great for her. So Nunzi put it on the table and picked it off and saw that. And it was getting to the stage where we were so certain, Nunzi was so certain, that she was actually starting to pray blessings over the other candidates because it wasn't a fair fight. You know, and bless them, I hope they've all benefited from those prayers and got decent jobs. But that job was Lisa's and we had it and we took it. And of course she got it. Well, maybe it was coincidence, but that's the first time we really kind of got into it and did it. And we've seen other instances since where we've taken things off the table, and you guys have got that. Guys, we need to understand and believe how powerful our minds are. They direct where we go. What's this got to do with Psalm 23? Well, I'm trying to get you to, and one, first, realise there is a table. And then two, understand what's on it. And three, you can take things off it. But in order to do that, you need to really believe and understand, as a man thinketh in death and life of the power of the tongue. So you can do that. If you cannot see something in your mind and cannot speak it out, I guarantee you will not see it manifest in your life. If you cannot see yourself standing up in front of thousands and giving a presentation, you won't be able to do it. If you can't see yourself as the best at what you do in your business, you won't be the best at what you do in your business. I've told you guys this before. Some of you might think I'm daft. I stand in front of the mirror and tell myself I'm the best whiskey educator in the world. And I am. I am the sought after one, Pauline.
Absolutely.
I am. People come to me. Why? I'll tell you why. Because I'm the best whiskey educator in the world. I'm the best at what I do. I need to grasp that in a few other areas as well, but I'm doing, you know? Okay, we all have areas we're working on and areas where we're better at. I'm better at that at the moment, but there's other areas I need to work on. I'm not saying this because I'm great. I'm great at teaching whiskey. But we need to see something in our mind and speak it out, or it's just not going to happen. And that's biblical truths. You know, start watching athletics again once these big events. It's the Olympics coming soon, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
It's, so Tokyo, is it?
Korea, isn't it?
No, I think it's Tokyo. Tokyo. But watch the athletes. I love watching the athletes, especially the high jumpers. Because the athletes rehearse what they're going to do. And I say, that's why I love watching the high jumpers. Now, you might go, oh, he's talking nonsense. See the next time there's a high jumper jumping. Watch them. They'll stand, they'll look at the bar, and you'll see them kind of going like this. They're practicing their run-up. And then you do see some of them going like that. You do. Honest. What are they doing? They're seeing themselves clear in that bar in their mind. And once they see it in their mind, off they go. Because if you can't see, they're not like the high jumper in Gregory's Girl. Does anybody remember Gregory's Girl? When the high jumper, he just kind of runs into it. He didn't see himself jumping that bar. No way. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. Okay. It's a long time ago. But you see them rehearsing it, because they rehearse it in their mind. And then once they see it in their mind, then they move and do it in the flesh. And that's biblical. So that's like the table part. We need to see this table. And see, when I see this table, I see it groaning under the weight. That's what I see. I see this table bending in the middle. And that just adds to my understanding of it, because there's so much weight on that table. I remember 2 years ago doing some work for a whiskey awards company. And I went down, and I had to go down and sort out all the whiskey into which category, whatever. And I came in and I saw this table, and it horrified me. Because there was thousands of pounds worth of whiskey on this table, and it was bending because of the weight. You know, it was just so laden with product. And that's like the table we have from the Lord. It is bending and groaning with the amount of goodness on it. So we need to see that table, and we need to see on it healing and prosperity, a university place, a career, joy, whatever you need, you know, on that table, and see ourselves taking it and owning it, because it's already there. Before we ever need it, before we were born, it was on that table, ready for us, everything that we needed. That's what Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3 says. We need to possess it. The goodness has already been provided and prepared on that table. A similar analogy is when the Hebrews were to enter the promised land. It was all there, flowing with milk and honey, grapes the size of your head, huge grapes, great abundance already there. What did they have to do? They had to go in and take it. But they had to see themselves doing that first. But what were they seeing themselves as most of them? As grasshoppers. Seeing ourselves as grasshoppers. We can't go in there. The walls are thick. The giants are big. Caleb, let me at them. I'm 80 now. Just let me. I love the biggest one. The steepest cliffs, the highest wall. Just let me at them. We need to have attitudes like Caleb saw himself going in there, slaying the giants and getting his promised land, didn't he? The others, sorry, Joshua as well. But the other spies saw themselves as grasshoppers. What happened to them? All died. All died in the wilderness. Only the two that saw themselves as winners, as champions, as being in covenant with God and being getting the promises, only the ones that saw it got it.
Caleb in Chelsea's
house. Caleb. Yeah, it's like I said last week, I want to meet Caleb. I want to meet Peter. I want to meet Caleb. You know. Caleb's obviously got one of the biggest houses in heaven because he just went and took it. I like Caleb. So that's the table. We need to see it. We need to imagine it in our head. We need to see things on it that we need. We need to see ourselves walking up to it and picking it up. I mean, this might sound alien to you at the moment, but it is biblical. See yourself doing that. You know, stand in front of the mirror, speak to yourself. You are the righteousness of Christ. You are the healed with sickness trying to come upon you. You're not the sick trying to be healed. You're the healed with sickness coming against you. You're not in want. You're not in lack. You're prosperous. You're at peace. Your life is full of joy. You are the best at what you do. You're going to get an A in that maths test. One, because you're good at it, and two, you're a good teacher. You know, whatever you need. Whatever you need. It's there. What about the enemies? I spent a long time talking about the table. I wasn't going to. Most of my week has been focusing on the enemies. Which is kind of the wrong things to do. I'll tell you about that. We should be focusing on the table, not on the enemies. So what's that about? Why in the presence of mine enemies? Why not just prepare a table for me, Lord? Why not just tell me there's going to be a table and I can go and take what I want? Why do you have to tell me about the enemies? It's because we are surrounded. We are surrounded by enemies. That's why. Hebrew word for enemies is interesting. Loads of meanings if you look it up in Strong's. To bind, to distress, to tie up, to show hostility towards. This context, an enemy, is anything that ties us down. Any chain that has got us in bondage. We're singing already, we can get rid of those chains. Amen. Just get the bolt cutters off the table. Whatever you need to cut those chains, it's on the table. If that's, you know, I think differently from you, if that's what you need to see. You know, I have this chain of what, I'm not going to say something because everyone always, you have this chain of eating bananas.
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't been here before or haven't been for a while, when I talk about people being in the grip of something, if I use the normal ones, the physical ones, there's always someone in the room that thinks he's talking about me. Oh, he's having a go at me. I'm not having a go at you, I'm having a go at everybody. So, you know, don't feel excluded on that part. So, I use, let's imagine we are in a weird world that eating bananas is illegal. And bananas are really bad for you. And bananas are just the devil's fruit. And you can only buy bananas in brown bags from the top shelf and all those kind of things. And then I would say, you know, if you're trying to stop using bananas, the last thing you want to think about is a banana. But if I come and preach at you for 45 minutes berating the evils of bananas, I'm putting that in your mind, and when you go out there, half of you are going, the first thing you're going to do is eat a banana. So that's why I don't preach against bananas. I preach about the goodness of God and the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if you focus on the finished work of Jesus Christ, you won't even be thinking about bananas. Okay? Why did I get onto that? Chains. So anything that binds us or is chains, like eating bananas. You know, if there's anybody here that wants me to pray with you to be delivered from bananas, I'm happy to do that. Just look at that bolt cutter on the table, we'll get rid of that chain. But replace bananas with what is binding you. And you can get rid of that chain. There's something on the table that means you can be delivered of that and removed from that. It could be sickness, it could be poverty, it could be rejection, it could be unforgiveness, it could be anything. Apart from persecution, because there's nothing to deal with. He didn't deal with persecution on the cross. Anything stopping us living life in abundance is an enemy. Bottom line. Anything destroying that. Go to John 10:10. You all know John 10:10. It's another one of my verses. But normally when I read John 10, I start from the middle. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what I normally teach from. It's abundant life. But in the same verse, we read, we have an enemy. An adversary. Is that the right word? Yeah. A baddie. And it's about him coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. Even that's an encouraging verse. Because you can't destroy something unless it's in existence. You can't kill something unless it's alive. And you can't steal something unless somebody possesses it. So what the enemy is coming for is in existence. It's alive in our life, and we possess it already. So he's coming to try and steal health. He's coming to try to steal and kill and destroy abundance. He's coming to try and steal, kill and destroy peace and joy and acceptance, which we already have. We know it's in our born-again spirit. In this analogy, it's on the table. Yeah. We've already got it. Our enemies are sickness, pain, poverty, lack, rejection, depression, low self-worth, fear, anxiety, stress. They're all our enemies. And in this world, in this, what is wonderful for us, this new covenant, even with that wonderful promises of the new covenant, every single one of us is surrounded by enemies. We have them coming at us all the time. We live in a world where we have enemies. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, once you're saved, it's going to be plain sailing. Once you're born again, everything's going to be hunky-dory. There's no verse like that in Colossians or Corinthians or Galatians. Yes, it talks about healing and wholeness and prosperity and abundance and peace and joy, but nowhere does it say we'll not be persecuted. It actually says we will be persecuted. In this world, you will be persecuted. That says to me there will be enemies. Now, don't all get all upset at me and say, well, you're speaking out death. Like, no, I'm not. I'm speaking out truth. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's a fact. It's a reality. It is a truth. There are enemies out there who will want to persecute us. It's a biblical truth. But here's the good news. It doesn't mean they're going to win. Read the end of the book. Who wins? We. Why? Because Jesus has won already. Doesn't say there's going to be no persecutions. Doesn't say there won't be trials and tribulations. Tells us they're not from God. God doesn't send us persecution. God doesn't send us trial and tribulations, but they're out there. In this world, in this life, we will have enemies and they're all around us. You know, there's going to be times of pain, of grief, of sorrow, of anguish. I mean, Carl's already prayed about our Queen this morning. You know, do you think everyone's happy and hunky-dory in her life right now? No, there's pain and anguish and grief that can become enemies. But at times of pain, at times of grief, at times of anguish, at times of sorrow, there is still that table laid there right in front of us. That doesn't get taken away. It's always there. That table's not just there in good times and in times of plenty. Oh yeah, we're all joyful when the money's rolling in and plenty of food on the table and there's no sickness and pain. Oh, plenty of joy then. We don't actually need the table then. But when a sickness comes along or a want comes along, an enemy comes and attacks us, there's the table. All laid out there for us in the presence of our enemies. That's why that verse is like that, because our enemies are always there. But that table and its blessings are there when we're in pain. Hallelujah. That table and its blessings are there when we're in want and we're in lack. That table and its blessings are there when we are being persecuted. Now, we cannot ask to not be persecuted, but we can have peace. We can take joy. You know, we can take all the things off that we need to deal with that persecution. God has not removed his provision just because the enemy is having a go at us. We need that table in the presence of our enemies. It's like that is when we need it. I haven't written any of that. That's just company. But it's obvious. Isn't it? You don't need food when you're full. You need food when you're hungry. You need drink when you're thirsty. Oh, amen. This is a verse of encouragement again. Another bit of Psalm 23 that is all about encouragement. Telling us that even in the face of adversity, even when we're in pain and want, in persecution and rejection, the Lord has provided all we need already on that table. Then we just used to need to use the other rules that he's put in place. As a man thinketh, death and life are the power of the tongue. And mind renewal and all the other things that you know about, but slightly different context today. But before you can receive what is on that table, you need to see it on the table and see yourself taken off. And it's a really useful tool, as well as being biblical. Caroline here will tell you, other people will tell you, you need to see things before you can do it. All we have already is there. I mean, some of us think that, or we behave sometimes like the table's gone, that God's withholding things from us. But that's not the case. God is not holding anything back. In times of want, times of lack, times of hunger, it's not like he's taking that stuff off the table. No, it's all there. Already been provided through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what Ephesians 1:3, that's what 2 Peter 1:3 tells us. The provision is already there waiting for us. But Vic, that cannot be the case because I am in pain. I've obviously not been healed. Yeah, you may be in pain. That may be your current fact, your current reality. But it's not the truth. The truth is, in your spirit, you've received all the healing you're ever going to need. In this analogy, the truth is that that healing is already on the table, already been provided. We need to pick it up. Ephesians 1:3, 2 Peter 1:3 tells us that these kind of things, it's a done deal. We already have them. And it's another teaching, but we already have them in our born-again spirit. We already possess them. What we need to do in our life is get our soul, that's our mind, will and emotions, to agree with what's in our spirit, and then we will see it in our body. That's a whole other teaching. We have that. If we agree with in our soul, mind, will and emotions, with what's in our spirit, we'll see it flowing in our body. So an interesting fact yesterday. As I was preparing for this, I got this thought, and the thought was, have a look at the unclaimed prizes at a national lottery. And I was like, what? Unclaimed prizes at the National Lottery? So I googled it. And there are currently, once the 6 months are up, if a prize is unclaimed, it goes to good causes. But as of now, in the last 6 months, there are 10 tickets in the UK that have not been claimed for over £10 million. 10 winning tickets where people have not come forward. I would go home and check my tickets, but I ain't got any. So, but it's not that the National Lottery is holding on to that money and saying, no, we're not going to release it. Nobody's going to get it. We're keeping that money. You don't deserve it. That's not the case. It's sitting there in a bank account, not on a table, but in a bank account, waiting to be claimed. As soon as someone comes along with a ticket, that's mine. They will release it. Guys, we've got, like, the golden ticket. Even better than getting into Willy Wonka's. We've got a ticket for anything on that table. And it's like it's sitting there unclaimed. I mean, we've used this analogy before. How many of you have any presents left under the tree on Boxing Day? Nobody. Why is that?
Because I don't have any on Christmas Day.
Because you open them all on Christmas Day, is the correct answer, Michelle. When we're given a present, we open it. We don't leave it. Now that's like, it's like a table full of presents. Why aren't we opening them? I'll tell you why. We're focusing on the carnage going on around us. And your mind can't be on two things. Even in the presence of our enemies, sickness, poverty, rejection, that table has been prepared, it's in front of us, it's ready for us to take. I had some interesting insights yesterday. I love all the meetings we have online. I used to love our Bible studies on a Thursday night because folk would be chatting away and I'd be sitting in the corner with my notebook. Sermon on Sunday? Sermon next Sunday? Yeah, just getting all the material from people. But yesterday in communion, I kind of said, oh, I'm away to do the start of the message now. And somebody said, oh, what are you preaching on? So I just gave a little bit of a summary of what I was going to be preaching on. I got some great insights. And Nikki brought up about peace and anxiety, about how if you're anxious, you can't sit at the table and enjoy your meal. Now, if you're worried about things that's going on, you can't sit and have a good meal. You can't enjoy it. And I thought that's a great example. And Nunzi also spoke about how sometimes in times of stress, you know, people don't eat and they'll lose weight. Never worked for me the times I was off with work with stress, but never mind. I must have been doing something wrong that time. But, you know, there's all those kind of examples. We have this table in front of us that the Lord wants us to sit at and feast from, not just eat. You know, this is a time we are allowed to be gluttons and just pull it all in and just eat it all. But many times, some of us let the cares of the world rob us of peace. And we can't sit at the table. And I think that this is a picture of Jesus wanting us to enjoy the feast, his goodness, while all that nonsense is going on around on us. It's dependent upon what we focus on. What are we focusing on, the table and what's on it, or the rubbish that's going on around us? If it's focusing on the rubbish, you know, we're not going to be able to focus on the table. If we are focused on the enemy, the enemy gets far too much credit. We have to realise he's here. And we have to understand that, you know, we see scriptures and demonic is real, but not everything is demonic. You know, you can go too far down the other end. You know, some people, there's no demons, there's no enemy. You can go too far down the other end, as in giving them all the credit and looking for demons and everything. No, it's not. But we need to realise that he's here, but not focus on him too much. You see what I'm getting at? Rather focus on the table, on Jesus, on the goodness, rather than him and what he's doing. If we're focusing on him and his nonsense, we won't be able to partake from the table. I saw an incredibly funny video on social media recently, and it was in a KFC. And we were driving past KFC this morning to get here. And I said to Nancy, I said, oh, I'm going to be giving a little picture, a little story about KFC in the message today. And she said, oh, is it about how you can eat any deadly thing? Because we have a major disagreement in our house. I have to say, I love KFC. And I know that some of you will now look down upon me. But I love KFC, but Nancy hates it. She says it's inedible. And the last time we were in there was the 4th of July, 2014. Would you be amazed? Because that was the day I left Diageo. And Nancy came and picked me up and said, right, we can go anywhere you want for lunch. Anywhere? Right, let's go to KFC. So I had two lunches that day. I had my own and Nunzi's because hers was inedible. Anyway, enough of that.
My other suggestion about...
Oh, what was your other suggestion?
About dog returning to its own vomit.
Yeah, and the other scripture was about dog returning to its own vomit. But anyway, I know. But anyway, I'm going to tell you, I saw this fantastically funny video on social media. And it was a fight in a KFC. Well, that's not very funny, Vic. It's not very edifying and exhorting and encouraging. But it cracked me up. But the reason this guy took this video, there was a bit of a fracas in the queue. there was two kind of gangs of youths. And it, you know, as these things do, it escalated quite quickly into a running battle inside this KFC. And there was folk running around, there was tables getting overturned, there was guys on the floor fighting, there was folk throwing chips and chicken at each other. But this guy, who obviously had been standing back and was recording the whole thing, then kind of zoomed in on this one guy, right in the middle of the restaurant, sitting on his own, nice and quietly, eating his chicken and chips. That would be me. That would be me. That's him. That's that. And he kind of zoomed in, and there's all this carnage going on all around him, and folk fighting, and food flying everywhere, and people shouting and cursing and swearing. And this guy's just sitting at his table, focused on his food, eating from that table, and not being affected by what was going on around him. And I just thought, that is a picture of receiving from the table. There's carnage going on. I mean, you just need to look at the nonsense that is going on around us today. Another Facebook thing I saw yesterday is, how can we stop being so fearful in life? And then the guy switches off the telly. That's a great way of reducing fear in your life. Switch off the news and the statistics and all the nonsense in the world. Just, it was hilarious. Just quietly sitting there, these chips, there's all these mayhem, carnage going on around them. That's what we need to be like, guys. That's what we need to be like. That's a wonderful picture. With all the carnage going on, what we should be focusing on is his table and what he's provided for us. And that's a good picture. Try and not let yourself have your focus drawn away, be it politics. The biggie for me for a while was Christians in politics. I was letting Christians just drag me away and getting involved in this political thing. No, that's it. No, sorry, you're gone. That's not having that anymore. Focus on the table and what he's provided. Because it's there. All of it is for us. And then I thought about the days when you could visit people. And one of the best things I love as a pastor is an invite to dinner. Hint, hint. I do like a good invite for dinner. And I love being invited by people and they want to cook for you. And I'm similar. I like cooking for other people as well. And the amazing thing is when I go out for dinner and people invite me for dinner, there's nothing excluded from me on the table. They put things on the table because they want me to eat them. They want me to enjoy them. And you might think, yeah, of course. You know, every time I've gone to Lyra's, she's not said, no, leave that, that's just for Stuart. Or you go to Ali, that's Aggie's cakes. That's not for you, Pastor Vic. It's never like that. When you go to these places, and if you ever get a chance to go to India, go to India and let Santi feed you. I dare you to try and not be as full as an egg when you leave Santi's table. Santi getting offended because I am so stuffed. You can't eat anymore. I mean, it was funny, this last time I went, it's like I had to sit them down. If you're watching now, this is a story about you guys, but I had to sit them down and say, I just want one meal. One meal this time. Watch my mouth. Listen to me very carefully, because I've tried it in the past. I'll have my breakfast, and then I want fruit and stuff at lunch, and one meal in the day. Because one meal for Santi is enough to last you a fortnight, let alone a day. But so there's never the things that they put on the table is always all for me. I'm Nancy and Stuart and Aidan, whoever's around the table. There's nothing. I've never gone somewhere, been invited to somebody's table, and it's you're not allowed to eat that. I've never, but we do that all the time. I say we as collectively as the church, as Christians. There's all that stuff on the table. The other analogy, there's all those presents wrapped up under the Christmas tree. And we don't take things off the table. We don't unwrap the presents. We've all done it. We're all doing it. This is the point where I say, hands up, if everybody in here is in 100% health, 100% prosperity, 100% joy, 100% acceptance, 100%... You're not normally getting many hands up. I'm not. Like I've said before, there are areas in my life I feel like I've gotten sorted, but there's other areas where I've not taken someone off the table. Why? Because I'm not sure if it's on the table. I don't think it's for me, even though it's on the table. There's loads of reasons. But nobody ever says, come in, sit at my table, but you're not allowed that, that or that. You're not getting that until you've tithed. You know, you're not getting that healing until I've seen 40 days of fasting. No, not. But we have that in the church sometimes. Begging and pleading God to heal us and forgive us when it's already on the table. It's like going to Ali's and you're sitting at a table and there's a banana cake there, a banana loaf. Oh. See, you are allowed to eat bananas sometimes. But sorry, bananas in the brain. Where did that come from? See, that shows you how it works. If you've got someone in your brain, so you've got banana loaf. What would Ali think if I said, you know what, Ali? It'd be lovely if you made some banana loaf. Can you go and make some? Can I have some of your banana loaf? Can you go and make me some of your banana loaf? And that banana loaf is sitting right in front of me. What's Ali thinking?
She'd already have the banana.
Ali probably. Or just point out that it was there. Point out that it was there. Same is true of the Lord. He has prepared a table for us, and it is no just for looking at. It's not just Bonnie. It's there for us to just dive in and take whatever we need. It's like that table. What's that film with Robin Williams? Is it just the pan? Peter Pan? Hook. And all the boys are at the table, and they're all just diving in. It's like grabbing over people. We should be grabbing over people's hands to get that acceptance. Grabbing over other people's hands to get that abundance, healing, prosperity, joy, whatever. Everything on that table is for us to take and to use and enjoy and be blessed by. Amen. Imagine a table with all your favourite food on it. Can you see it? Roast lamb and roast tatties. Chicken buna. Dishoom rice pudding. That's my new dessert. Have you been to Dishoom? It's an Indian restaurant. Oh, Dishoom rice pudding. And it's on that table. And it's a big bowl. And it's one of these bowls that's big enough for you just to put your face in. That's, and it's groaning under the weight of food. Can you see that? With all your favourite food on it? You can see that? Well, now can you see healing in between the dishes? Can you see abundance? Can you see prosperity? Can you see joy? Can you see peace? Can you see your adoption papers into the family? Can you see Ephesians 1:3? Can you see 2 Peter 1:3? That's what we need to do. It's an infinite table. It holds all we'll ever need. Even when we're surrounded by enemies. That's what he says in the presence of mine enemies. Because they're always here. Persecution will not go away. There is a world out there where there is sickness. You don't need to tell us about that, do you? You know, there's a world out there where there is prosperity. There's poverty. They're all our enemies. But if we've got a table bending with goodness all the time, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what our current realities or facts are, the truth is that table is there. And the truth is, it's got everything we need on it. There for us already, waiting for us to partake, to eat, to use, to unwrap, whatever analogy you want to use. Every need you have, there's a provision on that table. Or every need that Jesus has provided for, there's provision on that table. You need to be able to see that in your mind, and then you need to be able to take it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.